Madness is scheduled for one fall.
What is going on, all you jabronis and Jobber Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast with Vogel and the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. What is going on, Face?
What's up, buddy? Just trying to get some screen real quick. There we go.
Oh, you're good, my guy. You are good. Oh, man. How did you recoup from last week's episode?
Man, this week's been a long week, but that shit was fun. My sister was actually asking me about it last night. So I sent her the link over about, I don't know, what was it, 4 or 5 this morning when I was at work?
Exactly. Yeah, man. I mean, it was definitely a fun episode. For those of you who might have missed it, we had a very special guest. For legal purposes, we cannot state that he is, in fact, the real Ric Flair. So we, in fact, call him Mr. Flair. But yes, that was our interview last week. If you guys missed it, go ahead and check it out. It was Sunday's episode. We had a little bit of scheduling issues. So that's why it went up a little bit later on in the week. But it was definitely a great episode. We'll definitely have to do it again. And looking forward to having him back on the show sometime soon. But it not only was a busy week for both of us and our lives with work and having that interview with him, but it was also a busy week in wrestling. So we are going to kick off this week's show, like always, with some WWE news starting right off the bat. And we're going to talk about something that actually flew underneath the radar, at least for me. It actually happened a few weeks ago, and I'm now just finding this out. The WWE has released former Olympic medalist Gable Stevenson, who signed with the WWE in 2021, shortly after the Tokyo Olympic Games. It's not obvious. I mean, it's obvious, you know. Not everyone can be that Kurt Angle, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's only one Kurt Angle, but exactly. You're not taking him, so.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really what WWE was wanting to push him for. And it's kind of funny because at that same time, you also had the little bit of a push for, well, not really a push. I mean, they're trying to repackage him, and that was Chad Gable.
Yeah.
I had both of them going, you know, trying to get a push. And they said, if anything, it should have been Chad Gable, who was going to be that next Kurt Angle because he was similar in stature.
Yeah, he should have had that. Chad Gable should have had that on all fronts.
Yeah, instead they re-nicknamed him. They repackaged him as, like, what, Shorty G or some shit like that?
I don't
know. Where he had, like, the singlet of, like, with, like, the Enzo Amore G on it. I think that's what they repackaged him to because, yeah, everybody was like, that's, like, the worst gimmick in history. I mean, I think they just didn't want to have him be confused with Gable Stevenson with them having, you know, similar names.
Right.
In that nature. But yeah, I think, like I said, for a minute, he did go by Shorty G. So, moving on though, from that a little bit, do you think, well, not really moving on. Do you think that this was mostly going to be a Vince signing anyways? Do you think it was like, you know, Vince McMahon wanting to have that big guy since he was a bigger stature guy? I mean, he was going to be almost like a Bobby Lashley, almost in a way, his size. Do you think that was all Vince? Because we know Vince's requirements to be a WWE superstar. You have to be over 6'6". You have to be over 240. You know, yeah, you have
why the fuck is Rey Mysterio wrestling?
Because he came from WCW, motherfucker.
He's like 2.5 feet tall. He probably weighs 120.
That's soaking wet, dude. 120 soaking wet. That's after he has to shower for a second. No, but
right.
But no, I mean, that was always Vince's go-to build. I mean, especially I mean, Ray was an exception. There's a few exceptions to the list, but
Ray versus the Great Khali. God, that was so funny.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just talking about like, you. Well, Great Khali is another example. The dude couldn't wrestle worth a damn. And he had championships pinned on him. I mean, he fit the perfect idea of the perfect athlete to wrestle. Vince had it, you know, because if you look at it, he had the Big Show. He's had Undertaker. He has Kane. He's had Great Khali. He's had Andre the fucking Giant, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, all these big guys, I mean, I think he had like this idea of what wrestling should look like. And I think that fit his mold right there, was these athletes like that. And plus cashing in on Gable Stevenson's recent success at the Olympics that year, I think it was mostly a cash grab for Vince at that point in time. He figured that he could sign him for pretty cheap and get him in there and get him into developmental. And I guess rumor has it, you know, he just didn't really take when he was down in developmental. So,
right.
I would ask where you could see him potentially going to next, but you know, I don't even know if his heart's in professional wrestling. I know he could have had possibly his last, maybe, I don't know, Olympic tryouts for the amateur wrestling, and he missed those because he was still under contract with WWE.
Right.
So we don't know where he's going from here, if he's just going to retire. But I already know, you know, the default answer would be, oh, Tony Khan's going to sign him in AEW. I don't like that idea. Because if you look
either.
At
he needs to take a break and go back to the drawing table, I think.
Well, not just that, but if you already look at it, when AEW started out in the early days of AEW before the pandemic, they already had an Olympic athlete on their roster, and they still have an Olympic athlete on their roster, and that's former Olympic bronze medalist Anthony Ogogo. And his only match of any note was against Cody Rhodes. So we haven't really seen him since. And I think they dropped the ball with him too. So it's like, for them to add another Olympic medalist that they can drop the ball on, I don't like the idea. Like you said, I think honestly, Gable Stevenson needs to go back to the drawing board and see what he should do in his life, especially if his mind and his, you know, heart's not in the industry. Because you can tell, you know, the guys that really want to be there. And I think for him, it was just a paycheck that, hey, I've already won medals at the Olympics. I don't really need this type of thing. I just didn't think he wanted to put in the work. Unlike his brother, who is currently signed in NXT and doing really well, I guess.
Right.
But moving on from that, next Saturday is the return to Saudi Arabia and the pay-per-view event King and Queen of the Ring. The past few weeks, the men and women have had a tournament to see who will face off to earn the title of King and Queen of the Ring. This coming Monday, we will see a semifinal match of Gunther versus Jey Uso. That would be the Raw semifinals or the Raw semifinals. Might be the Raw finals. That's what it was. Yeah, Raw finals. And tonight we will see SmackDown quarterfinals with Randy Orton going up against Carmelo Hayes and LA Knight taking on Tama Tonga. The winners of both those matches will go on to the SmackDown finals on Friday, next Friday night. And on the other side of the bracket, you have the women's Queen of the Ring, where you have Io Sky and Lyra Valkyra will face each other on the Raw Women's Queen of the Ring tournament finals this Monday. And then the quarterfinal matchups that they have will be your favorite face, Nia Jax, will be taking on Jade Cargill.
Fucking Nia Jax. You know what? Just for shits and gigs, she needs to win. I've not watched the match yet. You see, I'm just going to keep playing that double-edged sword.
Wow, okay. He's like, yeah, she just needs to win this.
She can win it and then lose again, and that'll be great.
That'll be great. Balance will be restored to the universe.
Yeah.
While we're at it, we should just go back to 2016 and protect Harambe so none of this other shit that, you know, followed happens.
Yeah, no shit. God damn. Fuck it.
It went south after 2016.
Man, you're not even wrong.
But in the other matchup, we have Tiffany Stratton will be taking on Bianca Belair tonight also for the quarterfinals on the SmackDown side. And both whoever wins those matches will be punching their ticket to next Friday's SmackDown finals. We've been over this before with the King and Queen of the Rings. We've had this is I think like the second time that they're going to have a pay per view right. event over Saudi Arabia for the King and Queen of the Rings. But looking at the men's side, you know, I see Randy Orton, I see Gunther, I see you know. Mid-carders like Jey Uso, Carmelo Hayes, LA Knight, Tama Tonga. This King and Queen of the Ring doesn't hold the value. Yeah. The King and Queen of the Ring doesn't hold the value like it used to do. Like, you know, when you had Booker T like, as
yeah, I was actually,
you know,
I just seen something about Booker T being King of the Ring.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you're not even wrong. That shit was
you know, the best version of it because they were actually wanting to compete for a belt. You know, it wasn't just something that they had as like a status symbol like they do now. Because if you look at the past winners, like the last Queen of the Ring was Zelina Vega. She had a little bit of a singles run, but other than that, she's a valet. Right. Then the King of the Ring, you know, you've had mid-carders to like just barely mid-carders win these events. And even Kofi Kingston, not Kofi, but Xavier Woods won it last year, yes. You know, and Xavier's only a tag team champion. He really hasn't won anything else besides that in WWE. So, I mean, to have Gunther and Randy Orton in that conversation in this tournament, it's like, what are you going to do? Where are you going to send them? Because, you know, Gunther, you know, you just made him give up his Intercontinental Championship to Sami Zayn at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Where are you going to go with him? Because if you have Gunther win this King of the Ring, I'm expecting that you're going to have it like old school Booker T, where he's going to, you know, be competing for other championships other than just the status of King of the Ring. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Make this
actually mean something, you know, and unlike in the years past, especially with the Queen side too, because we really haven't had a great Queen since Queen Charmel, you know. it goes hand in hand with Booker T.
Wasn't Charlotte Flair the Queen of the Ring one of the years? I thought
she's never won. She's billed as the Queen because she's born in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is called the Queen City.
Okay.
But going off on another tangent, I know a few weeks ago I mentioned something about I'm gonna be glad to see this Jade Cargill versus Bianca Belair storyline play out, because you know something's gonna happen. Because we've seen it happen at not WrestleMania, but we've seen it happen over at the Royal Rumble earlier in the year, where they both were doing military presses and looking at each other. You know, we felt that there was going to be some type of feud building up in the next coming months or whenever Jade would debut.
Right.
Well, that could possibly happen, because if you look at that women's Queen of the Ring tournament, you know, we could see SmackDown next Friday, the first domino fall into effect. Bianca Belair going up against Jade Cargill. They're both to win their matches tonight. You could possibly see something, you know, start domino from that, you know, because we honestly want to see it. But then again, we kind of want that WWE Women's Tag Team Championship to actually mean something of value too. So
we want all the belts to mean something.
Exactly.
Of value, not just the women's, because lately, I'm gonna be honest, the WWE, the one Cody Rhodes has
undisputed
shit. Yeah.
None
of them have. In my opinion, honestly, I don't think any of them lately has really meant.
The only one that I could see meaning something was Gunther's reign of the Intercontinental.
Yes.
Because he broke that record for the longest reign. And I think, you know, yeah, you could say that Roman's 1,316-day reign was something of value, but I think it just only brought the program, not the program, but the value of that, just that brand, but the programming itself down. I mean, yeah, it made for a great storyline, but when you hold on to something for that long, I mean, you're wondering when's it going to change hands? It had multiple times to change hands over a decent amount of pay-per-view events, which it should have. Right. But I think it was just an easy cash grab, because if you look at it, everybody knows Roman. If you, even non-wrestling fans, if you see a picture of Roman Reigns, you're more than likely to know him, because he has like that, he has that, I guess you could say, in-house value to his name, you know, kind of like what Cena and The Rock did back in the day. No one, you know, you could go up to any wrestling fan and do this and they'd be like, oh, John Cena, or play the music, John Cena, do, 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 like that, you know. And it was just something, you know, everybody knew. So I think that's why they're cashing in on Roman too. And it's an easy cash grab for him, regardless.
Unfortunately, it was a very easy cash grab for Roman Reigns.
Exactly. Yeah, it was. It was. Especially, you know, that long of a reign. But since we are on the subject of King and Queen of the Ring, why not talk about some other matches that will be taking place at the King and Queen of the Ring pay-per-view event. Wow, man, try saying that 10 times fast.
Come shit. On.
I ain't try to. No, my tongue will be like all twisted and shit, you know?
Today, Junior.
But other matches that are slated for that night will be Becky Lynch taking on Liv Morgan for the Women's World Championship. Then you're personal favorite type of matches, Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable versus Bronson Reed for the Intercontinental Championship.
Another three-way? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. With all of this, you would be expecting that you're watching other content, you know, with how many times that they had three-ways for the championships and shit. Then we have Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul in a champion versus champion match.
I keep seeing shit about that, and it's being pushed too fast.
I don't think in this situation it is, because if you look at it, it's just a champion versus champion. There's no belts on the line.
But there is. I thought there was. He wanted
no,
he trying to be a
no. He said champion. No. He said that's the only belt. So I think if Cody wins, I think that will eventually lead him to taking a shot probably at SummerSlam maybe, or Hell in a Cell against Logan for that United States Championship. Even though I don't want to see it, because I don't want to see Cody with two championships. I don't think we need another champion with two championships on them again.
No.
Because then you're really don't. It's like you know that meme where it says, where that kid goes to like the toy aisle of the store. Hey, mommy, I want this Roman Reigns action figure. Honey, you got the Roman Reigns action figure at home, and it's Cody Rhodes action figure. You know, that's what it seems like they're trying to do. It's trying to be like this watered down version of Roman's title run, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you gonna? Oh my! I just got the most stupid thought in my brain.
Spit it out.
Cody wins against Logan. Sets up a title match against him for that United States Championship, winner takes all, at
possibly and then Logan, SummerSlam. Paul wins.
No. Oh, don't you dare wish that. You threw that out to the universe. Now it's going to fucking happen, you asshole. No, but I'm thinking Cody wins, gets the United States Championship, combines them for his title run, and calls it the Undisputed American Nightmare Championship.
I'm not going to lie, that kind of sounds dope.
Because it'd be like the John Cena belt or like the Jeff Hardy belt that we always reference, you know? It'd be like his championship where he'd have 2-1. I don't know, just a thought.
That might be
It's just a thought that just came in there real quick. I was like, man, because his name's the American Nightmare, so why not? But then again, this King and Queen of the Ring pay-per-view event just looks like another foreign soil pay-per-view event that looks way too predictable to me. The only match that I could see taking any what maybe possibly title change would be the Fatal Three Way, given the fact that Chad Gable really wants that Intercontinental Championship.
Fatal three ways never work out, man.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Because I don't see anything happening with the Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan match, honestly. I mean, I know they want to push Liv again, but I think it's too soon to push her. I know Rhea's out, so they're trying to get that another person in there that is, has the face value that can possibly draw the fans.
She doesn't.
I don't know. I don't know if Liv's the answer, though. I don't know if Liv's the answer for that quite
Liv
yet.
Liv was not the is not the
yeah. And then, like I said, the Cody versus Logan Paul and champion versus champion match. Like I said, it doesn't mean really anything. It's just for bragging rights. That one, I don't see an undisputed champion losing unless it's from a DQ of some sort.
Right.
Moving on, we have actually seen it looks like we are seeing that Viking Raiders Ivar will not be on WWE TV anytime soon. It has been reported that he has been taken off the WWE TV due to an injury requiring surgery. He joins his tag team partner Eric on the IR list. Does this possibly mean that we will be seeing Valhalla, who is their manager, also be on the shelf while they're both recovering?
Possibly.
I mean, we've known the situation on managers before, especially with the WWE. Given late, we've seen managers turn into in-ring competitors, with Dana Brooke being most notably, along with Zelina Vega, and now Valhalla. She was actually a member of the Riot Squad, if I do remember right. She was Sarah Logan. On the Riot Squad, so it'd be nice to see her get back in the in-ring competing if she does decide to get a little bit of a push or does want to compete in the ring.
Right.
We also don't know the terms of her contract too, so we don't know if she's just going to be that managerial type, only compete in like Royal Rumbles, things of that nature, or if she will actually have more matches. So it'll be interesting to see going forward if she gets on the shelf too, or if she will be actually in the ring competing. We have some building friction. We were talking about Chad Gable a little bit earlier between the Alpha Academy and Chad Gable. Gable has been, like we said a few minutes ago, fixated on winning that Intercontinental Championship, and it's been being more strict with the Alpha Academy. And attacking Tozawa, and that one Otis to do the caterpillar, which is, you know, Otis's finisher. It's a signature move, man. I mean, it's like going to an event that Scotty Too Hotty was in and not seeing him do the one.
Right.
You know, it's just something that you expect Otis to do. Do you see him finally breaking away from Alpha Academy, especially if he wins the Intercontinental Championship next weekend?
Well, I kind of think he should.
Yeah, I mean, it's been given, but then
he can get back to doing his singles.
But then again, you know, if you've looked at his career, I mean, I'm not saying that he's done that bad of a job as an individual wrestler, but ever since he broke in the WWE in his NXT days, he was a tag team. He was the original Alpha Academy, I do believe, or whatever. Where it was him and shit, what the hell was his name? It was just on the tip of my tongue. Jason Jordan. Then Jason Jordan had to retire due to a neck injury, and that left Chad Gable on a little bit of a singles run. But he really never got that push in the singles as much as he's getting now, I think. Because he's always been in that tag team situation. He was a tag team partner of Bobby Roode's for a minute. He was, you know, the Alpha Academy with Otis and Maxine Dupree and Tozawa. You know, it's just something that he strives in. So it would be interesting to see if he does break away from this, if he does win the Intercontinental Championship, and what that means for Otis going forward too, because Otis, that's all he's really done too is tag teams. He really hasn't known anything other than that. So it'd be interesting to see where everybody else goes in that situation. especially with Maxxine Dupri, with her not being that great of a wrestler as it is, her being mostly a manager, to see where she goes from there too, because I don't know where she would fit in, honestly.
I'm gonna agree with you because I have no idea. Like at this point, I have no idea
where. Yeah, because
I know.
Go ahead, man.
What's his name?
I'm Otis. Just
call him, yeah, Otis. I was gonna call him Chubby Boy. I'm a little chubby, so it's all good. But it's Otis, good. I think he needs to learn how to go back out on his own. He's been with a tag team for so damn long. It's time to find his own feet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good, but let's see how good he is being in a singles tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I mean, especially when you just had him not too long ago. Of course, I think when he won it, it was pandemic era, so like nothing made sense in that era. It was almost like a fever dream for WWE and AEW at that point in time. Things that we don't like to reference a lot. But I think he ended up winning the Royal Rumble that year, if I'm not mistaken. Or no, not at the Royal Rumble, but the Money in the Bank. Because it was at WWE headquarters.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's when everybody said Rey Mysterio was dead because he got thrown off the building.
Yeah, but you could tell that was so staged.
Yeah, because you knew that there was a netting down there too and padding and all that shit. You knew he wasn't just yeeted off the top. But I'm just going to say, you know, right now, this is a little bit of a tangent. Can we just take a minute to like say that this is probably the most interesting state for the WWE right now? Because I don't think they quite know where they're going in general, too, with some of these storylines that are developing and some of these matches that we're having. Because if you look at it, you had the faction, the Bloodline, and they're pretty much irrelevant right now, with Solo being, quote unquote, the interim head of the table and adding new members while Roman is out. Then you got Judgment Day and their leader, essentially, with Rhea Ripley being out with injury. What can we expect going forward with WWE without their main bread and butter to rely on weekly? Because it just seemed like for the last, you know, 3-4 years, we've been having this long weekly soap opera with the Bloodline and the Judgment Day headlining week in and week out. Now it's like we're having to get to know all these other wrestlers all over again. And it seems like they don't know what they're doing. You know, it just seems like they themselves don't know what state that they want to go in. You know, they don't know for some of these, you know, like I said, even the king and queen of the ring tournament, why is Gunther and why is Randy Orton in that tournament? Why, if you don't want, especially if they win it, where are you going to put them? Because Randy Orton doesn't need that. I mean, yeah, it'd be cool to add to his resume, but the dude's already a Hall of Famer. I'm more concerned is like, what if Gunther wins it? You know, is it going to be like another Andre the Giant Battle Royale where the winner just gets buried and eventually released? It just makes me have so many questions, you know, regarding that, like where they're going to go with that. And especially with, you know, just everything in general. I think that right now they're trying to get more viewers in by introducing newer members to the Bloodline, but as for me, right now, it seems as if it's getting an eerie feeling. And that eerie feeling is that this is turning into a situation of the Nation of Domination. Because if you look at the Nation of Domination back in the Attitude Era, Farouk was the main leader of the Nation of Domination.
Then, man, stop aging me.
Hey, I'm just saying, but he then added The Rock. You know, who was Rocky Maivia at that time, and he switched his name to The Rock after he joined. Then he added him, and shit went south. The Rock ended up taking over. They ended up kicking Farouk out. So it's almost like the same situation where, you know, Solo got added in. Solo's essentially kicking Roman Reigns to the side and, you know, taking over that faction. Because at that point in time, when the Nation of Domination, you start adding everybody. You had Owen Hart in there at one point in time, you know? Right. So it's like, this is what it seems like it's starting to be again, you know? And like we said, WWE has recycled storylines many a times, but add a little twist to them. But I think that's where they're kind of trying to go with this. And hopefully at Survivor Series, maybe we'll see something where it be like what you said, you know, Bloodline versus Bloodline. Roman and Usos versus, you know, Solo and his gang, you know?
The Bloodline's got to stop, dude. We got to stop seeing so much of that dumb shit. We've had too many years of it. Fuck you, you Roman Reigns lover.
hey, you're the one. Hey, what did you did it first that one time. You're like, man, I'm not even going to lie. I miss Roman.
I do. I liked it for a minute, but.
No, you liked it for WrestleMania weekend because there was that small little sliver that wanted him to retain so Cody didn't win.
Yeah, I did, but it is what it is.
Hey, that was all of us, though. That was all of us because we didn't want it was like a double-edged sword. We didn't want the streak to continue, the you know, the accumulative streak for that, you know, title run. We didn't want those days to keep adding up. And then again, we didn't want Cody Rhodes to be the champion.
I'm sorry, but Cody Rhodes, there's no fucking way in like a legit actual street fight, Cody Rhodes would have eaten his teeth, got his shit knocked the fuck out.
Oh yeah, yeah. It would have almost looked as bad as when The Rock jumped him. It would have looked worse. Yep. Oh, and especially if you had Bloodline rules too. Oh man. Yeah. Oh man, but yeah, like we said, the current state is just a mystery, I would say, because especially with Judgment Day now too, it's like, is there going to be a little bit of friction between Balor and Priest, because Balor doesn't have a championship, Priest does, and Balor, you know, once held.
I need Balor to come back. The demon Balor. Fuck the OG. Like, I need Balor to find that demon and bring it back out. Because I was thinking about this actually last night at work. I had a stupid migraine, like a really, really bad one. I actually almost left work because of it.
Oh, damn.
I was thinking about who's my three all-time top people with face paint.
Yeah.
Well, you already know Jeff Hardy. That's okay. Number one. Number two is definitely Finn Balor, because that's just fucking amazing.
Number two, Finn Balor, okay.
It's just because I like their style of wrestling.
So you would put Finn ahead of Sting?
Well, that's the next. That was going to be my next. Okay. It's the top three. It doesn't matter which order they're
okay.
in.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant
my three.
Okay, I thought you meant definitive. That's why I was like,
no.
That was a pretty, as I said, him, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at Balor at number two, because he's been doing some type of variation of the demon face paint for years now, even dating back to his New Japan. So there's various styles that he has too, kind of like with Sting, where Sting started off with with the Surfer Sting,
yeah,
went to the Crow Sting, then the Wolfpack Sting, back to the Crow Sting, then to Joker Sting, then back to Crow Sting. Yeah, he's gone to a shit ton of them, you know? So. Definitely, yeah, that'd be ooh. See, how are you gonna have Finn Balor on there without also having one of your all time favorites? And he's coming to get you. The Boogeyman.
That's funny. Well,
the Boogeyman. Because that face paint was pretty badass too. That took some time.
It was.
I mean, you got a lot of wrestlers that had face paint at one point or another that had some pretty bad.
Okay, so fuck it. Here's the top five of. Well, you got the three. It's the Boogeyman, and then you got to say Darby Allin.
Ooh, okay.
Darby Allin's always got to be in five.
I respect that. Yeah, I can respect that. I would have to say my top five. Yeah, I mean, I can't really argue too much with that. I mean, the only thing I could possibly see would be adding, what the hell was his name? Do a little fact check real quick here, because I just want to make sure I got the name right.
Emsworth? That's who you're going to put on there? I can't remember his first name.
No.
The skinny little
Kamala. Emsworth? Kamala. Yeah. Kamala, the big dude with the white face paint, that he looked like he was like in a indigenous tribe.
Yes.
He had a casket match back in the day with Undertaker.
You're not wrong. I vaguely remember
he would probably replace Darby for me, mostly because, you know, he was in the era in which I grew up in. His tail end was that, but yeah, I would say definitely honorable mention Darby Allin. I mean, we have an entire that you know, face paint and masks are the two biggest things that we always have in WWE. I mean, when it comes to that stuff, and we've always seen some variations of it, you know. And I don't know, you know, it's just one of those things where. Hopefully, if it does happen with Finn Balor, hopefully, like you said, it is with the demon persona, because that is probably his best work is with the demon persona. I mean, he's done it in every match. His only losses, I think, come to Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar. I want to say, if I'm correct, with that face paint on
Samoa Joe.
Hey, that's Sweet Tooth, motherfucker. That's Sweet Tooth. Fuck you.
I don't think he's that good.
I mean,
no, he's actually really good. But.
I was about to say, honestly, I'm
just throwing fuel on the fire for me.
He is good, but I think his best days were definitely when he was in TNA.
You're definitely not wrong. You TNA. Are not wrong.
Him, especially him and him and his matches against AJ Styles too. Those were probably some of the best matches that he's had too. And that was back when they did, you know, the multi-sided ring, not just the four-sided.
The fucking six-sided piece of shit ring.
That's
God damn it. It irritated the dog shit out of me.
Hey, and you do realize that TNA stands for Total Nonstop Action. It just now occurred to me that's why there were six sides to that ring, because action could come at you at any side and it's nonstop.
Oh my god.
Some 25 years later.
I absolutely hated those rings. Like, I would see the ring and I'd shut it off. Like, that's how bad I hated it. Even though I loved watching it, I hated the fucking six-sided ring.
Hey, wait, Beer Money Inc's on. Oh shit, it's the six-sided ring. Fuck this shit.
I like Beer Money. That was actually one of my favorite teams I would like suffer through to watch.
Oh man.
Just because I'm a Beer Money drinking fool.
I mean, that was a good tag team, Lance Storm and Bobby Roode. Oh man, that was a great tag team. Oh man, but before we move on to AEW, that does it just about for our WWE news that we have. Like we said, we'll know more about the King and Queen of the Ring finals tonight and Monday night. Well, tonight, actually, when the SmackDown matches take place. And then Monday, we'll know who moves on to the final match at Saudi Arabia from Raw, and who moves on to the final match next Friday. So yeah, we got a lot to look forward for that, for the men's and women's. So before we get into the AEW news and headlines, we got some bills to pay. That's why we are letting you know that this episode once again is sponsored by Dubby. Dubby is the make at home energy drink. Wow, sorry, I've read this ad so many freaking times, you'd think I know it by heart.
Doobie.gg.
Yeah, I know, doobie.gg. But yes, it's the no crash, no artificial flavors energy drink that you make at home. They have many of flavors that you could try. If you're not, they're all really great too. If you're not sure what flavor to try,
try them all.
Starter. Well, not just that, but starter sampler pack, which includes 3 W Energy single packs and 3 W Hydro single packs and a shaker cup. As a special thank you to our listeners, W is giving you 10% off your entire order. Just go to W.GG and select your products, and at checkout, enter code JCP10, because at W and at Jobber Club Podcast, we strive to be better.
You're the winner, goddammit.
Yeah, man. I mean, it took you, I mean, I can't believe that. It honestly took you almost all of the last episode to realize that we changed the code.
It really did. It took me at the very end. I'm like, wait a minute. Are you shitting me right now? You changed and I must it up
have,
on me?
And I must have said it at least 3 times at that point
you
in time.
Said it
I was
twice,
like,
and it
really yeah, I was like, damn. Yeah, because one time you were talking, I was like, man, dude, this would get them. You know, I don't think you were paying attention to the ad. And I was like, yeah, because Mr. Flair was talking about Woo. He was doing his Woo energy drink promotion right there too, and I think it was said, but you just didn't catch on. I was like, damn, man, I thought you would have caught on because I was all proud of myself too. I was like, yeah, I changed the code. man, yeah, but we told you guys that other code would be expiring soon. So yes, it is JCP10 at checkout, and you will receive 10% off your entire order. Like we said, man, can't go wrong with that starter pack, because that includes 6 flavors total, 3 hydros, 3 of the regular. It'll get you knowing which flavors that you like, all that good stuff. And plus, you'll get a free shaker cup with it and saving 10% off. Can't
free shaker cup, I'm in.
Exactly, because those things can get expensive. Exactly, those things can get expensive by themselves, man, especially. Fuck. Yeah,
why
up to $20. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and especially if you're buying, you know, the samples, you know, you're getting it free. So, all right. We are kicking off AEW news. And I just have a question. And that question is, I mean, it's a loaded question, especially nowadays with AEW being in the state that it's in, with it being a shit show at times and other times it being somewhat decent.
It's a shit show at all times.
But what does AEW do best? That's just the question for you.
Shit the bed.
See, I knew it was a loaded question. I knew, you know, I could expect many of the answers from this.
You can expect anything out of this.
Exactly, yeah. You know, there was lots of answers I was expecting from it, but... No, I think the one answer that I was actually looking for, I mean, yeah, they do ship that a lot. Yeah, they do mismanage talent. Yeah, they do misbook a lot of things. But they do love to make champions look weak, especially, you know, if they hold a decent championship. Most notably, Eddie Kingston, when he had those 3 championships. He was losing fights. You know, it just made him seem weak.
They also made Kofi Kingston look weak as fuck when they ripped the title.
I mean, that was to be expected though at WWE. I mean, that was, you know, we knew Kofi was gonna lose that when it was announced that he was going up against Brock Lesnar.
It's still irritating to watch that.
But I don't think we all realized it was gonna be one F5 and a 3 count. You know, it only took 7 seconds. Hell, it took Brock Lesnar longer to walk out to the ring than it did
for the whole match.
Hell, it takes Undertaker that long to walk out the curtain when his music hits.
You're not wrong.
And it takes him another minute and a half to get down the ramp. But no, AEW loves making champions look weak. For the second straight week in a row, AEW champion Swerve Strickland was attacked, this time by Father of the Year Christian Cage. I mean, I understand attacks on champions. I know it's a good way to speed up a rivalry and pretty fast, or to start a storyline pretty fast. But what I don't like is that it's your AEW world champion, and it's up against somebody who is, with Christian Cage being towards the end of his career in general. I just don't understand why they would have Christian do the attack. I mean, I understand it's for a storyline going forward. I understand that, you know, they got to build it somehow. But don't you think with Christian being the age that he is, close to being at the end of his career, close to calling it quits, probably one last run with Edge in the future, don't you think you would be mostly to put over somebody instead of attacking somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, especially, I know you just held a championship with the TNT championship not long ago, but
that don't mean shit, fool.
Yeah, but don't you think that, you know, that's where you draw the line, is that a mid-card championship, not to go after the main championship of the promotion?
Yeah.
Because it just seems kind of stupid. I mean, yeah, I mean, you could say, well, Edge has the TNT championship. Yeah, but it's a mid-card championship. He never claimed that he was going after the AEW championship. When he got there, he made a challenge to Christian Cage, who is at that time the TNT championship. He wanted that to take away from Christian, you know? It was kind of like a petty thing. I want to come into the company, and I want to take your championship. He didn't care about the main one, you know? He just wanted that one. So it's like, for this, I don't see why. I think the only thing we gotta look for is to see if Swerve's dad is alive or not, because Christian will be going after that in a promo. Because that seems like that's Christian's bread and butter on promos lately.
Right.
But yeah, that's just my thoughts on it. You know, like I said, it was a loaded question, but I think that's what they do best nowadays, is just bury their main champion, or a decent champion at that time. It just seems like it's just shitty, you know. It just makes them seem weak at that, if that makes any sense.
But when they start that come out of nowhere. When they start burying people like that, it kind of pisses me off, because it's like, why are you burying this person when...
Well, not just that, but it also seems like, you know, once they start down that road of being buried, it seems like we see them off television and we don't see them on TV a lot more. We see them start to go down, and, you know, we'll see them sporadically every, you know, few weeks or so. But it's kind of like the... for an example, we talked about it last week, especially with the women's division, not just in AEW, but in WWE. If you look at that women's division in AEW, it's not honestly that bad of a division. They just don't get the exposure. They just don't get the limelight, because it's been overshadowed in the past by the likes of like Jade Cargill when she was in AEW, the likes of Thunder Rosa, the likes of Mercedes Moné now. You started to lose, even when Britt Baker was there, you start to lose a lot of the roster that you once had, and you don't get to showcase them as well, especially in that women's roster. There's one that I hope that, you know, she got a little bit of a push, but it's Abaddon, the Living Dead Girl, as you know, that little moniker. And it's just sad, because they work so hard, and it just doesn't matter, because you've seen them on TV. But
you look so hard. Too bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's like the title opportunity was there at one point in time. I can't remember. I think they went up against Britt Baker for the AEW Women's Championship and lost, and then just got left behind after that. We just didn't really see much of Abaddon after that, and it just killed me, because I thought the gimmick and everything was pretty cool, but it's just, I don't know if AEW just doesn't see the value or what, but it's like, that women's roster is so stacked. Well, not stacked, but has decent talent on there. You just need to develop them and get them a push. I mean, you're working so hard with Sky Blue and Julia Hart. You're working so hard with them and developing them, but yet you're not developing anyone past that, really, in the women's locker room, and it's kind of sad.
You're not wrong, but give me one moment. I will be right back. But I am listening to you. I just got a text. I got to go check something real quick.
Oh, you are good. But yeah, that's just where I think they also need to be with WWE, not WWE, but AEW, since that was honestly a loaded question, since I did ask. you know, but yeah, they definitely mismanage talent. But yeah, they also like to make their champions look a little bit on the weaker side, I think. Another AEW news, it has been reported that MJF has been pulled from the official roster of AEW and his merch has been pulled from the official AEW website. Could this be part of the storyline going forward, especially with the way AEW is right now, with the Elite taking over, being the more authoritative figure, and with Tony Khan being, I guess, Tony Khan. I don't know really where he's going to be going forward with this storyline and how they're going to be using him in this situation. But do you think it's part of like storyline, or do you think it's actually possibly him jump into WWE? Because honestly, it hasn't been
saying he's going to jump to WWE for a while now.
Here's the thing with MJF. MJF is one of the last few wrestlers that refuses to break kayfabe. So he's in character 24/7 when he's out in public, when he's, you know, working on the mic, when he's in the ring, all that. Which you see is him. So he keeps all that stuff real personal and stuff like that. He was doing it to make it almost like a ratings war type thing, because he'd always say the Great War of 2024, which would have been him signing with a company. But yeah. I think his contract, if we were not mistaken, expired at the first of the year.
Yes, it did.
But why is AEW now taking him off the roster? Why are they now pulling his merch? You know, they've done this before in the past where he was supposed to be, I do believe, Double or Nothing last year, and he had his shit pulled. He was pulled from the roster and things like that. Then he made a surprise return with the Devil persona. So I think it could be a work, you know, because technically he was injured too during this time. So I think it was him getting better, and I think it's going to be something more going forward with that Elite storyline, where either he's going to be joining in or taking over or something like that. I don't know. I think it's just something like that's going to happen.
I think it might be something along those lines.
Because I also
see him jumping to WWE.
That is true too. Because like I said, I don't know at this point in time, because there's so many things that could happen where you just don't really know, especially with him, like I said, being out with an injury, him recovering from that injury. It's all up in the air. It's all
a big pussy.
as Fred Durst once said, it's all about the he said, she said bullshit. So, oh man,
just keep aging me today, you fuck.
Oh man, taking it back to WrestleMania 17, where it's my way or the highway.
Basically,
oh man. So let's see. Also in AEW news, this man right here, this man, I don't know how the hell he does it and how the hell he's still alive. I don't know if he's like a love child between Mick Foley and one of the Hardy Boys, but just weeks after being hit by a bus and months after a broken foot, Darby Allin made his return at the end of this week's Dynamite.
Beast mode. That's what
wearing a jacket straight out of Seth Rollins. I mean, sorry, Becky Lynch's closet. I mean, can we just get into this jacket right here? I mean, I'm just gonna share this. I mean, I know I shared it to you earlier, but this thing is, I don't know, it just looks like a bathrobe mixed with something that, like what you see, it said, seen at Five Nights at Freddy's, you know.
Pull it up.
That right there. You know what?
I'd fucking wear it. Fuck it. Why not?
Here's the thing. I could see Seth Rollins wearing that with those big ass red rubber boots that
look like
the Sonic boots from back in the day, but they're not red, they're pink. I could see him dripped out all in pink with that, you know? But yeah, he made his return. I can't believe, you know, this dude, I don't think he's human, man.
Fucking beast,
given how many times he's been injured while working at AEW and still comes back within
unthinkable time spans. And this would be an ultimate dream match. He should go to WWE.
Ooh.
And fight with Jeff Hardy and the Demon, Finn Balor. But they have to be in, like, straight up character, face paint and all three of them. It'd be like the Demons from Hell.
The Demons from Hell. The new Judgment Day.
No, fuck that. No, we're not doing the new Judgment Day.
The new brood.
What are you doing, Theo? I don't want to see your ass on camera.
But I mean, given his injuries, is it safe to say like he is a modern day like Jeff and Matt Hardy? Like with how fast he's recovered. We've all heard it before, especially with some of the older veterans of wrestling, that Darby, yeah, he's young now, but by the time he's 35, he's gonna be retired.
Yeah, all the injuries.
I mean, Mick Foley even came out and said that, hey man, you can't keep doing this shit, man. you're not gonna have many more years wrestling if you keep doing it. And I think that's just how he is. He's always
and been this is what zone, I say to Mick Foley.
Whoa. Damn, he said that. He said,
because ooh. I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I please.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's Darby Allin's attitude.
He is Darby Allin. What will he do next? Whatever the fuck I want.
I literally just watched a clip from that show today. Like, as I sat up and grabbed my phone, I'm just like, God, I miss those days so much.
Oh, man.
We're going to have to just have one episode where we watch Viva La Bam the entire fucking time.
I'm down.
I have all of them. I bought all Hell of them yeah. on iTunes.
Hell yeah. But it was also, going back to Darby Allin making his return, it was also announced that he is medically cleared to wrestle, and he is the final partner for FTR and Bryan Danielson at Anarchy at the Arena match at this AEW's Double or Nothing on May 26th.
May 26th. We are going to have to figure out how to watch that because I'm down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a long-ass card. Expect at least 9 matches. We already have 7 of those announced. And speaking of the Double or Nothing, hey. Like I said, we do have the 7 matches confirmed for the event so far, with the possibility of 2 being announced within the next coming week or so.
Thanks, Spartan.
We all know AEW usually, like I said, has those 9 matches. They usually have some of the longer pay-per-view events of the wrestling promotions, which can sometimes be a bore, but other times they can have bangers of matches. But those matches that we'll see at Double or Nothing will be Willow Nightingale versus Mercedes Moné for the TBS Championship. That match makes sense, but then again, it doesn't make sense. Mercedes Moné had a feud with Willow Nightingale over in New Japan for a minute. I would expect this to be future AEW world, or not world, but AEW Women's Championship matchup between these two. I think that the TBS Championship is a nice little belt for Willow to hold right now, but I don't think Mercedes really wants that championship. I think she's more so set on the Ultimate Championship of the AEW Women's Championship, but I do understand the feud that they have between each other. There will be no blood loss between the two, I do believe. And, you know, it's going to be one of those where it's going to be, I think, possibly maybe a championship change of hands. Who knows? Especially with Mercedes, this will be her first pay-per-view event. Actually, first AEW event of her AEW career. So it'll be interesting to see how they plan on going forward with her.
Right.
Next match, we will have Roderick Strong versus Will Ospreay. for the International House of Pancakes Championship. That is right. The International Championship is up for grabs between Roderick Strong and Will Ospreay. I like both wrestlers. I really don't care for how Roderick Strong's been billed in AEW. I think it's been a decent booking for him so far. But right. for him to have a championship and for it to be the International Championship, I think that's speaking volumes, especially that he could have been championship-less, especially with the gimmick that he has. I don't really care for it, but he's going up against Will Ospreay, who's been one of my favorite in-ring performers since his days in New Japan. I've followed him a lot. He's had really good matches between the likes of even Ricochet. Also, I think he's going to catch on pretty well over here in AEW. And I could possibly see him taking that international championship off of Roderick Strong. It'd be a nice little way to welcome Will into AEW, I think, especially since they were so fast to put a championship on Okada when he got to AEW, and him and Ospreay arrived at the same time. So it'll be interesting to see if that is true, but to see if the international championship does switch hands that night.
The international championship of pancakes.
Can we get the one-legged waitress to be the referee?
You know what, motherfucker? I don't really care for IHOP. I know this is a big fucking side note. I don't like IHOP. I'd much rather Waffle House. That shit tastes so much more better.
And plus you get free entertainment at the Waffle House too.
Bro, I've been to so many Waffle Houses. I love that. That just tastes so much better.
Because you got the cook in the back smoking.
He ain't got a cigarette in his mouth and rap music playing and a mouse or a rat running around the floor. That food, you already know it ain't going to be good.
And his name is B-Rat, and he's from Malibu.
Yeah. He's just
trying to make it, man. He's passing out little cards with his SoundCloud information on it. Man, I'm going to make it one day. I'm going to leave this place behind.
All right, B-Rad from Malibu. That movie was so underrated.
Yeah, it kind of was, though.
It was so fucking funny, though.
What do you got, a freaking musket? Yes, it's a freaking musket. Oh, man. Next match on Double or Nothing, we have Toni Storm going up against former Straight Edge Society member Serena Deeb
for AEW
Women's Champion.
Holy shit. Pull that up. Pull that up, Serena Deeb. I can see who the... Wow.
Yeah, you don't remember Serena Deeb?
No. I remember who she is, but I just haven't heard her name in a minute. Sorry, there's something in my fucking
eye. Oh, no. Serena Deeb. Yeah, she's been in AEW now for
God damn. The ultimate CM Punk goal is to bring back the Straight Edge Society.
Oh, I mean, you already have Gallows. I mean, all you need is just Serena Deeb, and who else did they have? And I remember they had one more person.
His one friend that I don't quote me because I don't remember. I thought one of his buddies ended up passing away. That was
Straight Edge Society. Maybe. I'm not for sure. I'll have to do a real fact check real quick, but
I thought he passed away.
Let me double check.
But I, like I said, it's been a hot minute. Wow, she's still wrestling, huh?
Yeah, dude, she's still wrestling. So yeah.
All I see is her being bald.
Do you remember why they kicked her out of Straight Edge Society?
I don't.
So here's the story of how she got how they did away with her with the Straight Edge Society. They said that you know how punk straight edge, no drugs, no alcohol, nothing of that nature. So they wanted each person in that faction to not do drugs, alcohol, anything like that. So she was under that gimmick that she had, and she ended up being spotted at a bar, and she was drinking, and word got back to Vince, and Vince was pissed. So yeah, that's the reason why she got pretty much let go at that point in time.
I feel like you don't have to live the gimmick outside of the. But then again,
I know, but it was it was out in public too. So I mean, I get it if there was kids involved, you know, that watched it. But if it's like majority of the restaurant and bar or whatnot is adults or coworkers, I don't think that would really matter. Though. Unless it was a punk ego trip thing, then that's another story.
I think it could have been just because you know how punk runs.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. No, the other and final member of Straight Edge Society was none other than Joey Mercury.
That's right.
Yeah. And then it was Gallows from that used to be Festus or whatever his name was.
Yes, I do remember that.
So yeah, we got Serena Deeb. She is going up against Toni Storm for the AEW Women's Championship. Then the match that we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, Swerve Strickland taking on Christian Cage for the AEW World Championship. And then another match that we mentioned a little bit earlier, The Elite, which is Okada, The Young Bucks, and Jack Perry taking on FTR, Bryan Danielson, and Darby Allin in an Anarchy at the Arena match. That's going to be a lot to watch right there. No DQ. It's going to be a shit show.
It already sounds like a shit show, and I've not even listened. Well, I am listening, but...
How many times do you think in that match that we're going to see Jack Perry point to some type of glass and say, real glass, cry me a river, as another shot to Punk? Because you know it's probably going to somewhat happen. I mean, it's got to. I mean, it's a gimmick now for Jack. Another match that we have that should be pretty interesting. I think this one might actually catch my eye for any match that I want to watch that night. I think it's going to be this one. Adam Copeland taking on Malachi Black in a barbed wire steel cage match for the TNT Championship. Now that sounds like some fun shit right there. You have Malachi Black, formerly known as Aleister Black in WWE, going up against Adam Copeland. I mean, both of them are no strangers to these types of matches, especially with Copeland, formerly known as Edge, used to be taking part in TLC matches, no DQ matches, I quit matches. So, I mean, this is going to add another element to the fun right here with them being in a steel cage and barbed wire to add to it. I think it could get really, really crazy pretty fast. And I don't know. This one's going to be a toss-up too because, you know, we're not making predictions this week, of course. But if I had to make a prediction, I would say that title switches hands because – to my understanding, I think Malachi Black's contract is almost up in AEW, and I don't know if that would mean that he's got to have a championship soon or what. I know that the tag team championships would be most likely for the House of Black. I don't know, but I think that the House of Black needs gold soon, especially with Julia Hart losing her TBS championship. So...
who is Rhea Ripley's husband? Isn't that Malachi or no?
No, Malachi, that is...
that's the other...
That's Zelina Vega's, yeah. Buddy Matthews.
Buddy Matthews, god damn it. I did this the last time, too.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Stephen Games? How you doing?
Then Andrade is Charlotte's husband.
That's right. Why don't they all go back to WWE... and how about they make like back in the day?
Like back in the day? Like what do you mean like back in the day?
Like what the fuck is it called?
the Ministry of Darkness.
What the, like inner, the men and the women fighting.
Oh, intergender?
Yes, that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Obviously, men aren't going to hit the women. Or women can smack the men.
Oh, mixed tag team.
Yes, that.
Gotcha. That would be interesting. That would be pretty cool. I mean, because we've seen it before where they had it back in the day, especially in WWE. They had, I think, matches. They were on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken. And it was the mixed tag team. The winners of that tournament got to enter at number 30 in the Royal Rumble. So it actually meant something. So that would be pretty cool to see them do it again like that. And it would be pretty cool to see the tag team's view of the spouses, you know, especially with Andrade, Charlotte. Then you'd have, I think it's Jimmy that's married to Naomi, or Jay, one of the Usos. Then you'd have them going in it. Then you'd have Malakai Black and Zelina Vega going in it. Yeah, I mean, it'd be pretty cool to see that. Maybe Corey Graves gets out of retirement. Not retirement, but gets medically cleared, and he tags with Carmella. So, who knows? Would be pretty cool to see. And another match that was announced for Double or Nothing is Jon Moxley would be taking on Takeshita in the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship Eliminator match, where if Takeshita wins, he will get a future IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. That, I mean, I get it, but then again, I don't get it. I mean, I understand you want to build a little bit more of a feud for it, but I think if you're going to have the match, especially with all these other championship belts being up for grabs, why not have the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship up for grabs? Why not it? Why does it have to be a title opportunity? Because I think at the end of the day, you know, it's just another match with a stipulation involved. And I think that's them trying to get views for the pay-per-view maybe. So I think it should just be the one match, because why should it be two? That's just my opinion. Unless there's some stipulation to why it has to be two, I don't know.
Right. You're not wrong.
I mean, other than like what I said, the TNT championship being the barbed wire steel cage match, is there really any match that really stands out to you so far for this event?
Not sure.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if I had to pick the one, it would be mostly the TNT championship. That would probably be the one I would think has the most value to it, but most entertainment value, I'd say. Especially, like I said, given how Copeland can be and given how Malakai can be, I expect it to be a really decent match. I expect a lot of blood to be in that match, too. So it should be one that may possibly switch hands. Like I said, we don't know how many more months Malakai Black has on his AEW contract or how many years he has on it. So maybe this is to enhance contract talks. Who knows? At the beginning of the month, Chuck Taylor suffered a injury to former tag team partner Trent Beretta in a parking lot fight. Orange Cassidy went on to say that Taylor's in-ring career is over. While people were wondering if it was storyline or true, and as of last week, doctors have confirmed that they are sure Taylor's career is over, because a further examination of his broken ankle, they found necrosis of the bone beneath the cartilage, meaning that there is dead cells and tissues that will likely prevent his ankle and foot from healing properly. I just want to say that we here at Jobber Nation wish Chuck a speedy recovery and hope that doctors are wrong, like they have been in the past with Brian Danielson, Adam Copeland, and Soraya. So hopefully there is a chance that he will be able to make it back in the square circle again. I mean, I always hate to see long-term tag teams break up. We've seen it before mostly recently with the Best Friends breaking up. We've seen it before with the Pride and Powerful over at AEW breaking up with Santana and Ortiz. We've seen, you know, a lot of tag teams break up. So, you know, it's one of those things where we wish Chuck the best of luck in his future with AEW.
Best of luck, bro. Hope you get better.
Exactly. Yeah. Hopefully those, like we said, hopefully the doctors are wrong. We've seen it before, but it's never a good thing when they say, hey, your in-ring career is possibly over. So who knows? Maybe he'll be a producer like majority of them are when they have these career ending injuries. And hopefully that means that if that is true, that he will be taking a producer role. Hopefully matches will be booked a little bit better and a little differently. Finally, we have reached towards the end of this week's episode, which you know what that means. That is our Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week. And, you know, it took me a while to think of one, but I think I got one. And
I'm not sure if I have one this week. If I see something I like, I normally put it on that guy, but
We've said it before, you know, the Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week doesn't have to go necessarily to someone that's, you know, being a jobber or booked to be a jobber. It can be for putting someone over. It could be for any of those reasons. But this week's Jobber Nation of the Week has to go to none other than Mr. Flair, who appeared on last week's
episode.
Who appeared on this past week's episode. Like we said before on the top of the show, if you guys still have not gave last week's episode a watch or a listen, do that. We had a great time with last week's episode. We definitely hope to have him back on the show again. Like they say in the wrestling industry, he came in and he did the JOB and he put us over. So we have him to thank for that. And for that reason, he is this week's Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week.
If
and
if you guys want to go catch that, I don't know. I don't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead, man.
What you were saying next.
If you guys want to go
check that episode out. It's on Spotify. It's on Facebook. And it's also on my own personal Twitch, FaceGaming_13. On Twitch and actually on YouTube. So,
oh shit, there we go. So yeah, go check that out. And also, if you're not on Spotify, it's also found majority of wherever you get your podcast at, such as
Apple Podcast, Spotify Pod.
Yeah, I can't remember if Google has podcasts or not, but it's also available on there. Last time I knew. If you're not sure if it's available from where you stream your podcast services, go to your favorite streaming service and type in Jobber Club Podcast in the search bar, and we are sure that you will find us on there. So yeah, like I said, that was my pick for the Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week, Mr. Flair himself.
That was a great episode. Every now and then, like this week, I've been thinking about it. I'm like, dude, I did have a lot of fun on
that. That was a great episode. Yeah, it was a great episode, though. Yeah. Yeah, it is probably one of my favorites that I've ever recorded. So, yeah, definitely a fun time with Mr. Flair. All right. That just about does it for this week's episode, unless you got any final things to say, Face.
Not really.
We need
to find more people to come on here that's enthused by wrestling like we are.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
I mean, we can send a link to you, bring you on, talk to you about whatever matches or whatever hell you want to talk about, you know?
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We got to keep it in the wrestling room. Because that's our lane right now. So
exactly. Yeah, but it's been fun. It's definitely been fun, especially like I said, last week's episode, and then getting more into this and streaming a little bit more. So getting ourselves out there a little bit more for Jobber Nation to follow us on multiple platforms. If you like us, like we said before, go to the official Facebook page at facebook.com/officialjobberclubpodcast. All the links that you guys will need will be in the description on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast at. Or if you are currently watching when we are streaming, our links are actually scrolling past right now on the bottom right there. Don't forget, as always, go to doobie.gg and use code JCP10 at checkout to get 10% off your entire order. But anyways, if that is all for you, Face, that is all for me. And until next episode, Jobber Nation, peace.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.